Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Lock and Key Unlocked, a podcast about Lock and Key on Netflix, as well as the comic books by Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about Lock and Key Season 3, Episode 8, Farewell, the final episode of Lock and Key on Netflix.
Now, here's the thing. It doesn't mean we're done. It doesn't mean we're done. We can just keep talking. No, we can keep talking about stuff.
Well, I mean, I was going to save this for the end, but obviously we know that Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez are going to be working on further comics. They're going to do World War Key somewhere down the road. So certainly when that comes back, we'll come back as a podcast there. So plenty more to come.
Like them doing another shift working, or did they give up on being on ambulance drivers? You know what I mean?
No, they became actual real life paramedics. So they're not acting as paramedics. They're actually out there saving lives, Pete. They're out there saving lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. But we are talking about the final episode of the TV series here after multiple failed attempt at movies, two pilots that never went anywhere at Fox and Hulu. We've got three complete seasons of Lock and Key in the can, brought the story home here. Now,
let me just say on that, Alex, it was crazy when we launched our podcast at that failed Fox pilot, did our podcast about the failed Hulu show. Yeah. And really, we've been riding along this journey for so long, and to launch a failed podcast is hard in this day and age.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to do that.
Yeah. Exactly. You can't fail in this business. Here's the thing, though,
and then we will get to the content of the episode. First of all, I'm not even going to bother with the recap. If you haven't watched by this point, who cares? You know, go watch it.
Alex is feeling it. He's sad. If he's not doing a recap,
I wanted to comment, and we've talked about this a lot. Time. Like, we legitimately have been with Lock and Key as the comic book since the beginning on our live show. We've interviewed Joe and Gabriel multiple times. We've talked to members of the cast and crew and other things. So they've trolled us.
They've pranked us over the years. They certainly raked me over the coals by including Alex, you in the comic, and then Pete, and then telling me that's it. They were like, that's it. Or later, including me in the fun.
I felt that a little bit in terms of being heavily invested in it and seeing this part of the journey complete in this episode, even if we had nothing to do with the actual TV show. But also just on the level of like getting them to see them complete this vision of the TV show at the end, to me, was really satisfying. Like just as an external feeling there. There's been a lot of talk, and I saw, you know, going back a couple of weeks, some negative reviews of this season, and reading through them, it felt like people were really holding on to this vision of the comic book and what the comic book was. And what I felt here in this last episode, and I'm curious to hear if you guys feel the same, is very clearly they were ending the TV show. They were not trying to do an adaptation of the comic book. We've talked about this a lot of times on the podcast, and I think more power to them. They completed this story on their own terms, and in my mind, it was very, very satisfying.
I agree completely. One of the big moments I thought when they were throwing all the keys in the portal and they threw the Alex recap key in there, forever ending your ability to do recaps, that was really heartbreaking.
I don't remember that.
See?
You're too old, Ben. Too old. Magic doesn't work anymore for you.
But I do agree with you that
I just turned 19.
Yeah.
Wow.
It shows.
You look horrible.
Yeah, where are you guys not to wish me happy birthday?
This is you at 19?
Man, did your voice just crack? You, yeah.
If you listen back to the previous podcast, I'm like, welcome to Lock and Key.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just what a bright young talent you are.
If we could stop, this was, you know, you worry about a show ending, you know, because of things can get canceled and, you know, you don't know, maybe you're writing the last season, but this ending was phenomenal. It really solidified how great of a show it was and how, yeah, it made its own choices, which we think is great because the comic can be the comic and we can love it and cherish it for what it is. But this was, you know, them doing something a little different with the same material, which I think was so cool and refreshing. And we got a ton of nods to the comics. So
love nods.
Yeah. I was really impressed with how they landed this last episode and what they did with it. It was emotional, man. I got choked up a couple times.
Yeah, me too, for sure. And I think one difference is that comics are sort of built to go on forever. They're meant to be just something that you can constantly keep revisiting. TV's mm-hmm. not like that, and I think this show really knew that and wanted to tell a complete story that has a strong ending.
I disagree a little bit because I know Alex goes back and just watches the scene where Gideon sticks his head out the window. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. you can rewatch something over and over. You know,
that's actually the only scene I've watched. Whereas there more to the show?
No, it's sort of a Shaggy to human dog show, and Chowder enthusiast program.
We didn't get enough Chowder, that's for sure.
But I do think, unlike the comic, this show was about sort of a full family unit, and that's why I feel like while the sort of action end of defeating Gideon came pretty early in the episode, the real climax of the season and the series was when they met up with Rendell, and like I was legit crying there. Geez. That was
come on
so good.
We
and
all
that
saw
was
it coming, and I still got choked up.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about how that would make sense as the sort of like apex or the final moment of the series. And then they did it. And it was still, even though we knew it was coming, it was still like super emotional. It was beautiful to watch. I thought it was great.
Well, and I really appreciate that impulse a lot. You know, we've talked about how they've been pacing out this season and the fact that, like you're saying, Justin, the first half of this episode was nonstop action. Like, I think it's the closest you're going to get to Lock and Key doing Fast and the Furious with like car chases and bike chases and Gideon smashing through a wall like The Rock. Amazing.
I was
going
to say the Kool-Aid guy, but all right.
All right. Yeah, or Kool-Aid. Yeah. Either way.
Same guy. Future casting. What? Dream casting. Dream Kool-Aid man casting. The Rock. Let's do it.
I have a question for you about The Rock. Do you think The Rock is the shell on the outside or is he the juice inside? Like, which is he?
Definitely the shell on the outside.
Juice. What?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh man!
Wow. Classic talk about
classic disagreement. I'm just worried the Rock's going to eventually encounter paper.
If you pour
true enemy,
oh my god,
his only weakness.
But what I was saying was that the first half of the episode is this nonstop action movie that's going on. They do dispose of Gideon, like you said, about halfway through the episode, and then they really give it enough time to go through multiple emotional climaxes. Like, we'll get into them more, but like you're saying, that scene with Rendell killed me in exactly the right way. But even smaller moments like Ellie getting to go back and be coach of the track team, I found myself getting
choked
up. Oh, when
she got clapped in?
Too.
I mean, come on.
When Scott comes back at the splattering screening, same thing. I was like,
Scott,
Waterworks
Scott
the entire
with
time.
Oh, man. Yeah. Dude, he killed it, man.
Yeah.
Really great. I mean, also, I just feel like this show took the time. Like, we got a scene where Nina and Duncan, she's like, you'll always have a room here. I was like, what a victory lap that they're really touching every character.
I'm glad.
That's what I'm saying. It's nice, and it just shows how much the creators and the creative team on this show loves the show, loves the characters. They wanted to tie everything up and give us one little whisper at the end. I think the care here.
You wanted
was
that
palpable.
Whisper. You we're all listening for it. We are all like, come on.
I'll talk to you later about what I thought was going to happen. But yeah, we at least they gave us that one little whisper to sort of, you know,
The final lap was, I was hoping, you know, like it, when we were running through the kind of boardwalk area there, I was really hoping someone was going to stop and have some chowder or something.
Or it would be like a marathon and have people have cups of chowder on the side.
Yeah. Yeah. When someone goes running by, you need that extra. Yeah.
For those of you who aren't runners, in the Boston Marathon, you got to be careful. They hand you chowder, and it's hot, very hot, so you have to blow on it before you mile 26.
Point two. Talking New England or Manhattan clam chowder?
In Boston?
Why?
How dare you?
Why are you asking? That's ridiculous.
And for those of you that don't live in Manhattan, Manhattan clam chowder comes out of the faucet when you turn it hot. So watch out when you're showering. That's why everyone in New York is pissed.
I usually trek over to the Gowanus and just get it fresh from in there. Just take a dip into the Gowanus, take a nice big sip.
Oh, and there's a chowder canal in the middle of Brooklyn called the Gowanus. And I will say, that's sort of true. The Gowanus is sort of a chowder canal.
Don't ever eat anything out of the Gowanus. Don't listen to this podcast.
This is another weird sidebar. I was out for a run, saw a dolphin that got lost in up the Gowanus Canal. People were trying to lift it out of the Gowanus. They were that concerned with a dolphin being in water that they were like, we got to get this dolphin into air, which kills dolphins. That's how polluted the Gowanus Canal is. It's chowder.
Yeah. There you go. Well, why don't we jump back to the beginning, because we do pick up on the big cliffhanger of the last episode where we thought Gordy died. Surprise, he actually comes back briefly, then dies.
Come on, man.
Tough pull. But I will say, we got a little speech. We got a little Prospero speech for
what
Gordy.
Was that from The Tempest?
It was.
Okay.
It was The Tempest, about mortality in a lot of ways. And that was one of Prospero's, probably his most famous speech, the character's most famous speech in the show. So the fact that it was given to Gordy again, like bringing our side character to the forefront, Gordy gets a shout out at the end, his name on a building.
I mean, he kills it in that delivery of that that soliloquy. Yeah. It was really
I know it
well,
goes
it
for
kills
you.
Him. It kills him.
It kills him. Oh, yeah. Boy. Oh, acting takes a little bit of your energy every time you do it. So.
Yes, as we well know, you have a limited supply of energy in your life. We're all powered by like a battery in a way. And
chowder.
Chowder
battery. Chowder battery running low. Time to restock.
Like I have a drawer.
Guys,
ready
this
for
is
it.
The last episode. We got to get all the bits in. But yeah.
We don't have to. And honestly, let me be honest. We've covered chowder. We've covered chowder in general. Yeah. Like we don't need to go back to that beautiful, beautiful drawer.
But yeah, I thought that beginning was really beautiful and heartbreaking, watching Gordy come back and you're like, oh, he's alive. And then he dies anyway. So sad. But then leading to that scene of Gideon coming out of the curtain and just getting shot multiple times.
Well, he was jumping through walls. He was warming up for his big kind of Kool-Aid.
Well, we've talked about him on this podcast as like a battering ram, and that's literally what he was in this episode. Yeah. Like you're saying, Pete, running through walls, jumping through bullets, everything. It was wild.
And on that tip, like the fact that Gordy got to die a hero, like really trying to stop Gideon, trying to get the Lock Kids a way out, and then trying to stop Gideon, I thought was a nice hero's farewell for him. And sort of the same for Sam. He dies inside Gordy's brain. Strange fate for him, given everything that in his life.
He seemed all right with it.
And sort of the bounce back moment on that is at the end of the splattering, Kinsey thanks Sam Lesser and some fucked up audience member is like, hey,
come on, dude.
I saw you thanked the guy that killed your dad.
Yeah, if you saw that, you might ask at a Q&A, like, hey, what's the deal?
If I saw horror movie, I'm not going to call out the creators.
The two other questions that we got to see at the Q&A, one of the three other questions were, are you ever going to do Splattering 3? And look, here's Scott. So the third question that was asked was like a hard-hitting question about her dad's murderer. Yes, a little surprising.
Gotcha journalist right there.
Well, I'd like to, before we get too forward, I want to kind of bring it back. The curtain, like, being the heartbeat, like Owen, mm-hmm. was a cool choice. That was very really cool, nice. Yeah. And then we kind of got flashbacks of Sam, and then he got to transform back into himself. He had to be upset about losing that sweet leather jacket, but he had a smile on his face when he died. I mean, how many people can say that? So it was nice that at least he seemed at peace with the fact that he maybe did some fucked up things, but he righted some wrongs at the end and maybe ended up, you know, helping some great. People out. So it was,
and,
it was.
And that reminds me, Pete, when I die, I want you to come up and no matter what the circumstances, just push my lips up so there's a smile on my face. You'll be there probably.
Let's put a smile on that face of yours. Would that be a good thing to say at that moment?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. That was great. We already talked about the chase a little bit, but I thought there were so many great moments in here, from drawing the door with the creation key to drawing a motorcycle, which I was like, that's elaborate, but
it's fun good. Effect. She drew helmets.
Like the effect of it coming up through the ground was very cool.
I wish they would have taken a little bit more time with that lock on that door, because we all knew that wasn't enough to hold Gideon back. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that was a tiny lock.
Did we see that bar before? I feel like that was kind of a callback to season one, if I remember correctly. I feel like there was somebody in there before, so that was sort of a repeat setting. So maybe part of the sequence was revisiting places we've been before in Matheson, kind of.
Yeah, I think that was the sort of vibe all across this episode, like really touching on the journey that got us here. I feel like at this point we can vote Gideon. Loving driving.
Oh, like, yeah. Still. Like that when he burst through into the garage and Gordy Shaw had that sweet little car. And I was like, just picturing Gideon down the road with the top down, be like, wee.
That was great. But I also love the fact that, like, he can drive, but also can't drive. That they kept it semi logical.
I like
there
how because he was yelling at the car to turn. He was like, turn for me.
Yes. Tyler's line when they're on the bike, where his delivery on how does he know how to drive made me laugh out loud.
That's great. And he could drive, but he couldn't turn for a pretty good portion of it, which I thought was great.
It was a little crazy that, okay, like you couldn't push Gideon with a machine, but mom's strength, Nina can just jack him into a fucking portal nobody's business.
You're jumping ahead. There's a lot of stuff to talk about with this car chase, specifically the end of the car chase where the car just straight up explodes.
Yeah, Gideon dusts it off.
Great. Love the moment, but I was like, oh, I hope cars don't really do that.
Well, so what happened is Hot Josh wrecks Gideon, like you knew he was going to come in and save the day. Gideon takes Hot Josh's hot car, and of course that car is so hot, it's going to burst right into flames. That's how hot that car is. Josh's hotness extends every which way. Boom. Flame car.
The stunt where they drove right by Josh's head while he was laying on the ground,
scary.
That was great. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that on screen. And they probably sped it up a little bit, but super scary, like you said. The other thing, I was a little surprised, though I don't think there was necessarily room for this, but I was kind of expecting him to do I'm your great-great-great-grandson, or just some sort of callback to the familial nature of the two of them, but...
I agree. I thought at least a reference to maybe Gideon's I won't kill you grandson, or like some kind of thing there. But instead, it's just like a quick little I remember you, and then he's off.
Also very funny, this is definitely jumping ahead, but at the family breakfast towards the end, when everybody's like, what's going on? Josh is like, I was assaulted.
Yeah, I know. I was like, not the time, guy.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah, not a fun. They're having a fun family breakfast.
Well, his car exploded, so I mean, he's been through a lot. You know,
he has been through a lot. But why don't we jump over to the thing you wanted to talk about, Pete, which is the final showdown in Key House, because there's so many big moments there, and I love the simplicity of the moves going on here. That it wasn't that apocalyptic Hawkins gets sucked into the upside down ending that I think I was predicting from the beginning. Maybe all the way back to the trailer episode I'd throw out there.
Oh, we should talk about the trailer.
That was so long ago.
I don't know when we taped that. But instead, we had a relatively small conflict between Gideon, who is at wit's end here. It's just like, give me the keys, give me the keys, give me the keys and the locks.
Yeah.
Setting up these very simple moves to take him down, which I actually thought it was great. Like, again, that it wasn't this epic apocalyptic thing, but it was this smaller conflict between the two teams. I thought was awesome.
Well, it was hilarious how Gideon shows up and Tyler's like, hey, right here, buddy, right here. Why don't you come this way? And then he's like, oh, I'm not going to fall for your trap. And then Bodhi kind of pulling like an aliens move where he's like working the big rig, which Bodhi, I mean, this guy is so talented. He can do any plan. He can make it work. I mean, this guy.
Well, he had to get a special operator's license to run
that
machine.
Yeah, you have to put in some real hours before you can operate something like that. 100%. You know?
He'll always have a job on a construction site, much larger than Tyler and Carly's piddly house building. He's going to be building skyscrapers in downtown Matheson, perhaps some sort of chowder hall that the town definitely needs.
Yeah, they can make it huge.
But what I wanted to say about that, I agree with you, Alex. It was sort of a small final battle. And I think I liked that because the keys are for kids. They're literally built that way. And only does Rendell's sort of machinations get adults involved in the process. So they fight Gideon like a kid would, by putting a kid in a giant machine to push him. It wasn't even like, let's smash him. Let's it was like, let's push him, which is what a kid would do. Like, let me push this other kid into this thing that I want him to go through. Like, I really like that sort of unity of that idea.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I also loved Gideon's temper tantrum smashing the well house there, which, again, like a very relatively simple move. But he's like, I got to break this so you can't push me through here. Also, that's going to force Tyler out so he doesn't have this hiding place. So, but it's just, again, this like blood object absolutely wrecking this thing. And again, I feel like I came into here expecting what we get in the comic book, which is that Key House is going to be utterly destroyed. And the fact that it is just the Well House, I was okay with. I was all right with that. You know,
as we learn, they're going to make a sweet jacuzzi spot for Duncan to come hang. Which is nice. I wanted to say, like, the Gideon's dedication, you know, it's a good thing he didn't stay back in the Revolutionary War, because they might have won the Brits, because he was really he was getting after it the whole time.
Then we move into the house for the actual final battle. I was super tense pretty much from this moment on, at least when it came to the final battle, because this is the point where I was like, this is where I could go legitimately wrong if they didn't totally plan for this being the final season, because Kinsey could get thrown into the portal. She could be in there, and there's a cliffhanger where they have to get her back in some way. I was super, super scared about that. I'm glad, just for completion's sake, that it didn't end that way, but very tense scene.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I loved, no, you fucking die. It was like a great final line. I love that. This was Kinsey's season, and the fact that she gets to be sort of season the action of hero at the end, I thought was awesome.
Well, I mean, Nina got the real action move. She's the one who shoved him through.
I don't know if you've seen an action movie, but the hero's the one that says the line. That says
you know, she said the line, but she was struggling, and then her mom had to come and, like, you know, push the bad guy in.
Oh, so you're saying, like, in the movie Die Hard, the hero of that movie is the cop from Family Matters?
Hell yeah.
Well, interesting. There's a whole other plot going on in that movie. I don't know if you're...
Yeah, but he handles the business at the end. You know what I mean?
Nice, yeah. The people that handle the business. You love the film finance is their most exciting part about filmmaking, right?
I also loved, while we're talking about thematically tying things up with the characters, the fact that it is Tyler who is the one who says, no, we got to throw the keys into the portal. We got to get rid of them. He started the season not having his memory, wrestling with this, and everybody being like, how do we get him back into the fold? And that he is ultimately one that really logically explains to them, no, this needs to end. This magic needs to end. But he doesn't do it out of hatred. He doesn't do it out of avoidance. He does it about what is best for the family and best for the world. I thought it was a really nice way of tying up his character arc as well.
And I like that they reference Gideon's words, what Gideon was saying throughout the season, where he's like, look, these keys don't belong here. These are my kin, and you're using them as toys to, like, really just play, is what they were built for, not to, like, do good, or they mostly do bad. I thought that was cool that was meaningful, and Tyler really took that to heart. And they, before they dispensed with them, we got to see flashbacks to the keys and how they
exactly
used them.
That little like moment. Each key got a moment, each key got like a flashback and stuff was nice. That they even with the kind of like honoring things at the end, like even the keys got little moments, which was crazy. But technically, right, they could have saved one key. They could have saved the animator key because when he created that portal, he didn't have that key. So like it was weird that they needed that key to close it up, though, right?
Well, I think the idea was the only he was missing that key to open it wide enough where they could come through. Right. So that key would have to go in to fully close it.
Ah, well, I was kind of like, oh, come on, guys, let's you know, maybe save one.
I think for the sake of this being the final episode of the show, it's okay.
Well, and here's what I thought was going to happen.
I don't think you're wrong, Pete, but it's all right.
What I thought was going to happen in that while we're talking, like wishing for more wishes, I thought the last moment was going to be Bodhi had used the creator key to draw another creator key. Thrown one in, and we were going to get one last moment of Bodhi in his room pulling out the creator key where he could make anything, make more keys.
I was hoping they would at least go one more, you know, go over to the cemetery and say goodbye, you know, use the ghost key one time to be like, yo, thanks for all the help, man. We're throwing these
for
keys.
For Chamberlain?
Yeah, and being like, yo, thanks, you know. I don't know if you heard, but Sam got fucked up, but, you know, I hope you go move on.
Chamberlain's
to the
like, that's fine.
Just me, spent so much time talking to that killer kid. I don't know. What's my life like?
I mean,
technically, they could open the Omega door and make more keys.
No. I think the idea is the Omega door is done. Like, that got sealed up at the end of the last season, so that's not there anymore because Gideon couldn't open it up with his powers, but he was opening up all these other doors. But the whispering at the end implies there are more keys out there. There's always a possibility. I think you could just interpret it metaphorically as there's still magic left in the world somewhere out there, and that's fine. But there are plenty of other moments to talk about. I'll throw out there. I loved Bodhi in the middle of all this danger, still being Bodhi and asking about the keys and loving them and being like, wow, amazing key.
Well, I think he was like, that's the key I haven't found the best one where I could draw stuff into reality. All he does is draw stuff.
That's right.
So I agree. Like those moments are really fun. I like they get through the Harlequin chest through magic, as Kinsey says.
Yeah.
One more. I thought they were going to draw a Harlequin key. I think they were avoiding the idea that you could draw other keys.
Right.
Because that does open it up too much.
But we talked about the Rendell scene. We kind of brushed through it a little bit. My first biggest question about this is, do you think they set the time shift key for a couple of weeks so that they could blip over to Matheson and then road trip across the country back to their original house?
Yes, they definitely did that. They went through that journey in the past. I mean, I guess they could have used the anywhere key.
They used the anywhere key. Yeah, I figured that out. But at the time, I was like, "How long did this take? Oh my god!" But yeah,
what a journey.
I assume they used the anywhere key and timed it out that way, versus be like, "Okay, set that for 5 weeks, and then we'll have 5 minutes right at the end to talk to your dad."
With long chat on the road trip. Yeah. Like that.
But I thought that was great. I loved how the scene played out. Bill Heck as Rendell was so good, and that moment of realization when his family comes back in, where he's like, oh, shit, I was finally going to get a moment alone, a piece, just get on my computer, and then these fuckers are back. Really well played.
I also liked the kind of moment where they were like, Bodhi, what's your deal? Like, what are you holding on to? And he was like, I want one more thing, and I was like, oh, it's his dad. It was just such a great, fun kind of like reveal of it. And also the fact that dad was like, yo, you guys did what I couldn't. I got a little crazy with the keys. Sorry, you got to clean up my mess. And sorry, people died and all the fucked up shit happened. I was glad we didn't see it when they broke it to him about Gordy Shaw, because he would have been like, oh, man.
Yeah. Whoops. He's probably Who? Said whoops a lot over the course of that
Who?
Scene.
Oh, come on.
Wow, Bert.
Come on.
Major Bert. You hate Gordy.
I'm fine with Gordy. I got very emotional over the beginning of the episode.
I feel like the moment he sees them enter, he's like, wait, you guys just left. And then you see him realize, like, this is a key thing. And this is a different thing happening.
Yeah, I was joking about it, but I really was affected by
that
moment.
You were speaking like a tired dad a minute ago. Yes. And now you're like...
Now I'm speaking like a podcaster.
Oh, boy.
But I one thing I loved about the way they just shot it, sort of an unspoken thing, is the last we see them with Rendell is they're all hugging. And yep. then the time shift key ends and the family's still hugging. Rendell's not there. And I thought that was just such a great metaphor for family and like a family dealing with a loss. And to be real for a second, one of the reasons why I was crying so much watching this scene is I lost my dad. And that moment when they talk to him, I was like, oh, this hits hard. And it feels like it speaks to the characters and anyone who's been through that, like the casual ease with which they could have like a real conversation with him. And that's what you miss about people is like being able to have regular moments with them. And I just thought it was handled super well. And in the midst of like Gideon crazy driving scene and then on into like 10 more like epilogue scenes that came after this, like just they just are masters of TV what they're doing over there.
I totally agree. And I mean, on the 10 postscript scenes, it never felt heavy to me at any point. It didn't feel like they were going to Lord of the Rings length where they're going another hour or anything like that. Instead, it was another 15 to 20 minutes at the end of the episode, you know, and like you got all this tie up with everybody and you got everything finalized and it was really worth it. Like I was mentioning, down to the Ellie and Rufus stuff. I loved Rufus's line about Squadron Strange realizing that they're already home. That got me as well.
Yeah. I mean, again, Rufus saving the day, being like the whole time, like, Mom, I don't know why you're trying to lie to yourself. You need to be here. And that track team fucking needs you.
Yeah. And they're going to up their 40 times so much when she's coaching.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, do you see that way that tracksuit fit her? Like a glove. Yeah. She was just rocking that thing. I mean, it was nice to see her in her final form.
I also love that they took a moment to unlock each other with the memory key. That was something I was like, oh, very smart. Like something I wasn't thinking of. But like, of course, they need to remember this. This show's about memory. It's about holding on to those things that have happened to you and how they sort of unlock your future. And so, like, great move. Really cool.
Yeah. And then we do get the final. Oh, what were you going to say, Pete?
I was just going to say the splattering there.
Oh, no, go. You should talk about Scott and Kinsey in particular, because well, I know you've been a big Kinsey shipper. You were hoping that Gabe would come back and they get together.
That would have been sweet. I'm so sorry you didn't get that Gabe Kinsey's final moment.
Stop it. Yeah, so cutting to that movie was great. Love the kind of little clips that we've gotten to see along the way. That was so much fun. And then the big fan Scott moment, he was like, you did Nathaniel dirty, was awesome. Great. You know what I mean? It's, you know, if you don't get a proper on-screen death, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? So, and then we got a little walk and talk with them and the kind of almost kiss moment. I was like, come on, man. You guys were right there.
And I love that Kinsey is so like, I don't, she's still, because let's remember the Kinsey from a couple seasons ago was like riddled with self-doubt, like didn't know what was happening. And you see that Kinsey again in that moment where she's like, I can't tell if he likes me or what's going on here. I want to kiss him, but I'm not going to. And then they have the kiss. And I was like, it was really well handled.
It would help that she brought up Rochester. She was like, how does Rochester? Did you go over and like see Kodak or get a garbage plate?
I think that's a different route. He's in Rochester, England. Like, he's in Rochester, England.
Oh, that Rochester. Very different. I get it confused. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Rochester.
You grew up with a British accent, right? Given it up for this upstate New York accent.
Yeah.
Excuse me, what was that? Rochester, England. In Rochester, England, they call it a loo plate instead of a garbage plate.
Oh,
wait, Alex, do you go to the bathroom in the garbage?
Where do you guys go to the bathroom?
Oh my God.
It's not. There's a whole room separate for that.
I haven't discovered it yet. Got to keep searching, I guess.
And then they had the fun moment afterwards where Duncan did the classic, hey, did we miss anything? Just fun. Just everybody staring at each other, kind of being like, oh, geez.
And how do you feel about Tyler? We talked about this a little bit, but how do you feel about Tyler ending up kind of with Carly here at the end and going on a road trip?
You got to give it a shot. You got to see what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's very brave of Tyler. You know, it was nice to see him pack up his sweet, sweet ride. And
say goodbye to that
a little bit. Yeah. So
did you pause and truly say goodbye out loud to that car?
You're goddamn right.
Well, Beautiful moment for you, Pete. I thought it was funny. Like, I like Tyler and Carly. I think they're a nice match. She seems like him in the right way, but also sort of opens him up. I had thought it was weird in their call where she was just like randomly camping.
She's outdoorsy. What are you talking about?
They should have had a beautiful little scene of her being like, talk to you later, hang up the phone, pulling out an enormous hunting knife, putting paint on her face.
Here we go. Bring it out.
This is how
I do breakfast.
Yeah, she's a real hardcore survivalist. I mean, I would buy it. It reminded me just of Gideon in his little campsite. I was like, is she? And then I was like, is she just like outside Matheson is going to surprise him again? The whole thing just felt a little strange.
It might honestly have been that. Maybe they filmed that scene on the campsite because they had that available versus setting something up. I don't honestly know. But yes, it was.
She built a huge fire for one person campsite.
It was a slightly distracting detail, but I think the idea was that she was road tripping and camping. Yes,
she's exactly. an outdoorsy person. People go camping all the time. What is your deal?
Yeah.
How often are you camping alone?
When we first met them, they were building that house that had no walls. It was just sticks, and that was
exactly. So
you're saying she was like, "This house is finished," and everyone's like, "Carly, no, we need walls."
That's what I took away from it.
She's like, "What are you talking about? You can't see the sky."
There was a garbage can and everything. Everything you needed.
That's all you need. Just. Oh man, what a honestly it's good that this podcast is ending because none of the things we're saying makes sense.
All right, that's probably a good point to wrap up here.
I'm surprised you guys didn't want to talk about this. Medium Josh got the okay from Bodie. He's going to ride some cars and Bodie's into it.
I thought that was great.
That was a huge move.
The only thing I'm worried about is they're getting inside cars with him, and as we've previously established on this episode, he's going to blow them up.
Yeah, too hot to be behind the wheel.
Bodie, this
show has been a journey of hot Josh becoming a hot daddy, and I think it's exciting that he finally, the end of this series, he becomes a hot daddy.
Wow. And we've all become hot daddies out there. Before we wrap up here, as we mentioned, I'll just reiterate this. When Lock and Key, the comic book, comes back, we will for sure boot up another installment of this. But also, as we always plug at the end of the episodes, we have a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube, and would love to talk to you about Lock and Key. Please come out, hang out anytime. We're happy to chat about it. If you want to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow at Lock and Key Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, and there will be a next time, keep it locked right here.
Just raise one last gin chowder and suck it down.
White
and creamy or red and dripping.
You know it's white and creamy. I love a gin with chunky potatoes in it.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.